Today is the 12th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. It is wonderful that we can gather and we have a place to gather here around the global campfire. That we might, to come into this safe place and allow the scriptures to speak into our lives. And the portion of the scripture that has been speaking into our lives lately is the book of Isaiah. And our next step forward will be chapters 10 and 11. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning when disaster comes from afar? To whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Nothing will remain but to cringe among the captives or fall among the slain. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Woe to the Assyrian, the rod of my anger, in whose hand is the club of my wrath. I send him against a godless nation. I dispatch him against a people who anger me, to seize loot and snatch plunder, and to trample them down like mud in the streets. But this is not what he intends. This is not what he has in mind. His purpose is to destroy, to put an end to many nations. Are not my commanders all kings? He says. Has not Calno fared like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad, and Samaria like Damascus? As my hand seized the kingdoms of the idols, kingdoms whose images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not deal with Jerusalem and her images as I dealt with Samaria and her idols? When the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes, for he says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding. I removed the boundaries of nations, I plundered their treasures, like a mighty one I subdued their kings. As one reaches into a nest, so my hand reached for the wealth of the nations. As people gather abandoned eggs, so I gather all the countries. Not one flapping a wing or opened its mouth to chirp. Does the axe raise itself above the person who swings it, or the saw boast against the one who uses it? As if a rod were to wield the person who lifts it up, or a club brandish the one who is not wood? Therefore the Lord Almighty, will send a wasting disease upon his sturdy warriors. Under his pomp, a fire will be kindled like a blazing flame. The light of Israel will become a fire, their Holy One a flame. In a single day it will burn and consume his thorns and his briars. The splendor of his forests and fertile fields it will completely destroy, as when a sick person wastes away. And the remaining trees of his forest will be so few that a child could write them down. In that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. Though your people be like the sand by the sea, Israel, only a remnant will return. Destruction has been decreed, overwhelming and righteous. The Lord Almighty, will carry out the destruction decreed upon the whole land. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, says. My people who live in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians who beat you with a rod and lift up a club against you as Egypt did. Very soon my anger against you will end, and my wrath will be directed to their destruction. The Lord Almighty will lash them with a whip, as when he struck down Midian at the rock of Oreb, and he will raise his staff over the waters, as he did in Egypt. In that day their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. They enter Ayath. They pass through Migron. They store supplies at Michmash. They go over the pass and say, "We will camp overnight at Geba." Ramah trembles. Gibeah of Saul flees. Cry out, daughter Galim. Listen, Leasha. Poor Anathoth. Madmina is in flight. The people of Gibeon take cover. This day they will halt at Nob. They will shake their fist at the mount of daughter Zion, at the hill of Jerusalem. See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile toward Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will subdue Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian Sea. With a scorching wind he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. Second Corinthians 12, 11 through 21. I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. how were you inferior to the other churches, except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you. Yet, crafty fellow that I am, I caught you by trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent to you? I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not walk in the same footsteps by the same spirit? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God, as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. Psalm 56. For the director of music, to the tune of A Dove on Distant Oaks, of David, a miktam, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire. They lurk. They watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Proverbs 23, 6 through 8. Do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your compliments. Okay, let's take a look at what we read in the book of Isaiah today. When we began Isaiah, we were just kind of talking about how Isaiah is one of the most quoted Old Testament books that can be found in the New Testament. And the reason for this is because Isaiah gives these clear promises of a coming deliverer, a Messiah. So the writers of the New Testament use Isaiah as a prophet who foretold the coming Savior and then revealing that Jesus is this promised Savior in part by showing the way that he fulfilled the prophecies. And we probably all know that. We probably all know that's how it happened, but we might not necessarily see all these connections. We can read through Isaiah and see the famous Christmas passages and stuff like that, but how were these connections made? Like, how did Jesus become a contender for this promised deliverer? We can see some of that from our reading today. So we began our reading with these words: "Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless." Okay, so that declaration names a pattern of injustice that was happening long before Isaiah and continued long after Isaiah and still exists in this world today. But the prophetic voice of Isaiah gives hope in saying that one day a Redeemer would come and make things right. And then next, Isaiah is discussing or foretelling the Assyrian invasion of the northern kingdom, which we've read this, which would be successful and would carry away 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel into exile into Assyria and threaten Jerusalem. We know that happened. We know that those 10 tribes were assimilated and disappeared from history. We also know that the Babylonians came later and conquered the southern kingdom of Judah and destroyed Jerusalem. So we are talking about mythic devastation. Like, we are talking about the complete destruction of a people who are forced traumatically into distant lands. Like, the trauma of that lives on in these people with a hope that maybe someday, somehow, some way, restoration might possibly happen. And Isaiah affirms that, affirms prophetically that all won't be lost. And I quote from the 10th chapter of Isaiah from our reading today: "A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. Though your people be like the sand by the sea, Israel, only a remnant will return." So, if we fast forward from Isaiah and go into the first century, the time of the formation of the New Testament, the time of Jesus, the Jewish people in the land, the people Jesus was ministering to, were the descendants of this foretold remnant. That prophecy had become a reality. They did come home. The problem is they were in the land, but it wasn't theirs. It wasn't their homeland. They didn't control it. It was controlled by the Roman Empire. It was a part of the Roman Empire. And the Jews were in the land, but they did not control the land. And they were experiencing the oppression and injustice of the empire that Isaiah had written about. And they longed for the restoration, for the Redeemer, for someone to come make things right. And so from that perspective, understanding that the people were oppressed and longing for a Redeemer, then we can see what they were looking for, what they were expecting from the prophets, what this person would look like. And I quote that description from the book of Isaiah chapter 11 from what we read today: "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. So people began to see, Jesus fits this criteria. And then that became a topic of tremendous debate. Was he the foretold Messiah? Was he not? And this debate led all the way to his execution. But the prophecies were known and they were a part of the culture. And then later the New Testament writers would use the Old Testament prophets like Isaiah to reveal that they missed it, that the Redeemer did come, and that God's work of restoring all things was absolutely underway and at work. It was just different. And they thought they wanted a Redeemer to come and beat up the bad guys. And God came to say, you beat them up by loving them. And so that gives us a little glimpse into Isaiah and into the mindset of the New Testament writers as Jesus fulfilled these prophecies of a coming Redeemer. And Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for coming. And we are sorry. We are sorry that then we as humans missed it and rejected you. And we are sorry for the ways that we do the same thing, that we miss what's right in front of us. Holy Spirit, come. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, this is Terry from Toledo, and I'm just calling in for Lisa. She just called in today, September 9th. On the podcast is when I heard it. And Lisa, I'm praying for you. And in Psalm 26, verse 3, it says, with perfect peace, you will protect those whose minds cannot be changed because they trust in you. So Heavenly Father, we just come right now and we say, help her keep her mind focused on you through this trial, through these tribulations, Lord. We bind this cancer in the name of Jesus. We bind this pain in the name of Jesus. And we ask for strength. We ask for guidance for the doctors. And we ask for perfect healing, a sozo healing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory right now in Jesus' name. You are in my heart. God bless you, Lisa. I pray that God gives you favor in everything you want to do. Terry from Toledo. Bye now.
Hello, my VAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, you found us when we were lost and living apart from the fullness of life that you promised to those who love you. Thank you for allowing someone to pray for our salvation, for putting people in our lives to speak of you, and for convicting our hearts through your Holy Spirit of the sin in our lives. Father God Almighty, we pray for the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ Jesus, who is your very image, to be made known to those who are lost. Draw them to yourself as we seek your face and ask that in your mercy, you will remove whatever is blocking their minds to receive the gospel. Father, we know that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So grant them repentance and a knowledge of the truth, so that they may escape from the snare of the devil. Show us how to help people draw closer to you. May we be faithful to pray earnestly for the lost who are unreachable by human contact, but who can be reached through the power of your Holy Spirit as we pray. Save their souls from the lies of the enemy. Lord Jesus, show them that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hi, it's Donna from California, and today is September 7th. Let's lift our sister Lisa from the East Coast, who also goes by Philippians 4:6 on the prayer wall. Let's lift her up in prayer today. Father, we lift up our sister Lisa, who is undergoing treatment for cancer. And she's on the journey with this disease that has just really ravished her body, it sounds like. And we pray for discernment for her doctors to determine which is the best treatment, which is the best chemotherapy medication to use, so that she can be free of pain and get some quality sleep, so that she can won't have to have fluid being pumped out of her body. And just pray for time, as she has requested, just more time. We lift up the situation with her family. She said that she really has some troubled relationships there, and I lift those up to you, Lord. We lift them up. If healing can be possible, and most importantly, for peace for Lisa about all of that. And Lord, if you could just grant her a miracle, we pray for her healing. Healing in every way. And we lift Lisa up in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Lisa, you are one of the bravest people I think I've come across. And I love you.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is God's Angel in Training calling from Lexington, Kentucky. I would like to pray today for our precious Lisa, our sister in Christ, who is struggling with symptoms of her cancer. Lord, I lift Lisa to you now, and I ask, Lord, for discernment for her oncologist, that he will be able to help control her symptoms and help her to be comfortable. Lord, I pray also for the people that have contact with her, would not attempt to admonish her for not doing enough to bring her family to the Lord. They have the witness of Christ throughout God's creation. And Lord, I just pray for peace and for joy to surround her and enter into her soul and remain with her through to her entrance into your glorious heavenly kingdom. Father, I pray all of this in the precious and majestic name of Jesus. Amen.